Actually, I'm going to play Saints. It a bit longer. Keep that song going. Saints or Sinners, episode 7. If you follow St Kilda FC, love the AFL, love fantasy, trivia and or banter, well then stay tuned. This is a podcast for you. Three of our hosts are St Kilda fans. Our fourth is a coach that brings us back to reality when we either want to cry or celebrate at the roller coaster that is the St Kilda Football Club. Today, we're going to discuss our win against the Geelong Cats, our Saint or Sinner of the round. Our GT pressure rating will be back in action, as well as our fantasy review at the end. Every short break, we play the siren sound. That's where we pause the podcast to ask you at home a St Kilda-related trivia question. All we ask in return is that you follow our podcast on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts, as well as following us on Saints or Sinners Pod Instagram. Now, a podcast is nothing without a panel, and we have a good mix of talent here for you today, so let's cue the music. Firstly, 35 plus years of watching St Kilda games, which equates to over 700 games watching the Saints, a semi-retired chef of five-star restaurants across Melbourne, Sydney and Sri Lanka. Also working at the MCG in the MCC Premium Dining section, it is our Chef Yoz.
Oh, thank you. How good is it when you win on the weekend?
Hey, was it chicken or beef? Your favourite?
It was lamb. The lamb was on fire. Actually, got kicked off my section and had to go and help on the lamb section plating up. Oh. Hey, they were hammering it away.
Must be a Melbourne game.
A fantasy fanatic finishing in the top 100, chasing that number one spot in AFL Dream Team. Do you recognise those mini matches or highlights on the AFL app? Well, then this man next to you has produced over 1,500 games of match highlights for the app. His workload consists of back-to-back footy matches every single weekend. Working for the AFL himself, it's St. Trenner.
G'day, guys. I was thrilled to be on a supervisor for the St. Kilda game because normally I'm struggling to find highlights for the Saints, but I was sport for choice. I had to actually cull some of our highlights because we were going over time. So good on you, Saners.
It's our former AFL athletes coach, our former VFL head coach and current coach of the North Ballarat Football Club. Married into a family where his in-laws go for the Saints, so he's probably against his will, had to watch a lot of St Kilda games every weekend, listening to a bunch of one-eyed Saints supporters. It's our one and only Coach Proc.
Hey lads, how's it going? Everyone well?
We're up and about.
Yeah, Clint's too modest, but he had a good win today as well. Yeah, so we doubled up, we're on fire.
The Chooks were good.
Saints were good, we're on fire today.
Hosting today is myself, Jules Bolt. I was the former host on AFL Bites, which is on the Footy Live app, looking to bring you some trivia stats and carry out the agenda for today. Speaking of the agenda, Saints vs Geelong we'll talk about, our Saint or Sinner of the round, fan mail and questions for Coach Proc, plus some fantasy talk at the end. It's time for Saints footy. Kick back, relax, and let's get straight into the action. For those of you who didn't watch the match, I'm sure a lot of you did, but the Saints started strong, bang on from the first bounce. We put through the first 6 goals to Geelong's 1, and we're up by 27 at quarter time. Geelong started to work into it a bit, but the Saints kept control. Tom Stewart went down with a knee injury and got subbed, which was a big loss for the Cats. We went up into halftime, up by 29 points. Isaac Keillor kicked his first goal on debut, while Lance Collard kicked his first as well. He actually ended up with 2 for the match. In the final quarter, this is what shook a few Saints fans. The Cats came back hard as we thought. They kicked 4 goals and it got a bit dicey late, but the Saints held firm. O'Connell took a huge mark in the last quarter and Caminiti stopped a Dangerfield goal late with a desperate spoil. In the end, the Saints got it done by 7 points. McRae led the way with 35 disposals. Rowan Marshall was huge with 29 disposals and potential for best on ground. Jack Higgins had 4 goals, whilst 5 players for the Saints kicked 2 goals. Boys, St Kilda vs Geelong, what do we think?
Oh, I'm not surprised. I did tip this. And I demand we get a recall and we replay that tip. I did tip a 5-point victory for the Saints. And, like, it wasn't our sure thing. But I just thought we played Geelong really well at Marble. We won the last 3. And Geelong don't play well at Marble. Yep. And they did came out.
Don't ever underestimate the man again.
We'll see how we go for the rest of it. But Geelong were ice cold and we are pressure. We wanted to see them starving dog hungry and they came out and they were that, weren't they? Yeah. They were really at them.
I just add something, right? Do you know what's funny? In the coaches, like in your coaches sort of environment, you sort of just get sort of isolated with your own opinions and what's happening and you try and be careful with the external noise. But one thing I noticed with fans is how much knowledge they have with regards to the ground or where you play. And don't get me wrong, coaches take it in as well, but you certainly don't want that to go through your players that, oh, we only play well here. So you sort of try and level it out and like, oh, we can win anywhere, but it doesn't matter. But I'm convinced now. Like, you knew. You were like, they're going to win. Geelong are no good there. Like, and I'm like, this can't happen. And it's just
it wasn't a great week the week before. We were trying to look for some positives. Yeah. Like it would have been easy for the team. You saw, like, Essendon turn up, get rolled easily. You saw Richmond get rolled easy. And it would have been so easy for St Kilda just to turn up and get rolled by, what, 10 goals again? Everyone has said, oh, we knew that was going to happen. Yeah. But they didn't. They turned up, mate. They were really, well, we've got some notes. Their pressure was there. Yep. They were over 200 pressure rating. And Clint, can you explain how they rate that pressure? What does it actually mean? Everyone says the pressure rating's over 200. They're doing well. But how does that pressure
Well, good question. I should go to the stats over here. Yeah. Stats guys and the super coach, man, he would know better than me. Nah, look, it ultimately is around the pressure in itself and what it looks like how much, obviously, GPS data comes into it. So where their work rate is in regards to a level of, I think it's, you know, like the acceleration and things like that. And then pressure around that with tackle, perceived pressure, and it all comes into that. And I guess it builds up with a formula that produces such, you know, in that sense. Check the data if that's the case, but I'm pretty sure that that's what it has on there in a sense.
Yeah,
and that's
correct.
What it looks like.
Yeah, by champion data, actually, each pressure act is assigned a point value. So a chase is 1 point, corralling, closing, physical pressure, implied pressure, it's all equals points.
And that, man. They were all over gel and they outnumbered them in the contest. They're in their face. That's all we want to see. And I think also they had the dare from the back half was evident as well. They control the ball and they were willing to take the risk at that point to switch it and attack Geelong. And I thought that really stood out in the first half.
Siren sound. Question. I think St. Trent is going to lead the trivia today. What have you got for us?
We're going to go back to our cryptic clues because we've been getting some positive feedback about them. So yeah,
the fans at home are listening. So let's give them a chance to answer.
All right, let's go with the first one. I share a first name with a popular secret agent, and my last name rhymes with another name for a doona. Cue the silence and the last.
Are we giving them a chance to
answer? Let's repeat it. I share a first name with a popular secret agent. My last name rhymes with another name for a doona.
Oh, no idea. Let's break it down. James Bond. I guess a James.
Yep.
What's a doona?
Blanket.
We're on the right track here, I can tell you. There's someone at home screaming this out.
Yeah. Go on, call it. Who is it?
Well, there's another term for a doona. It's a quilt.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Stop it. I was thinking home players. You're not talking about James Quilt.
James Quilt.
Oh, come on, mate.
No, fair enough. I thought we were talking current players. But he was on there. It was great to see.
No, I should specify. We're going to be doing past and present today.
Okay.
One of my all-time favourites.
Left or right footers as well. Let's make sure there's
lefty.
Trevor, what did you make of the Saints game when you were cutting the highlights?
I was shocked. I was pleasantly surprised. I did not expect that result, especially I go back to last year when we got the wood over Geelong, and I thought that we were missing some key players that wouldn't make that happen again. So the fact that we got that job done without King, Butler, Sharman, Filippo, it was just incredible. I didn't expect it at all. But one thing that really pleased me is, as Jos said, we could have just rolled over and lost by 10 goals and no one would have batted an eyelid. We probably would have been made fun of in the media again. But to our credit, we came out from the opening bounce and we looked on. And I think Coach Proc said it to me as he was watching beside me. The Saints look on within the first 2 minutes. And it was that Mitch Owens and Windhager and all of them just bringing that intensity straight on. You knew that they're up for the fight. So really, really proud of the boys. And I think all Saints fans should be really proud of that effort.
Well, I'll just jump in there because I'd say, like, we give Ross a bit of sometimes we have a joke about Ross and his coaching style. But that was I'll hand over to Clint after this, but that was a coaching masterclass. Because you look at that forward line, what you said, he won against Geelong with a forward line of Higgins, Keeler, Wood, Hall, Owens and Collard.
Mm.
And the way they structured the game to combat that lack of tall timber in the forward line was brilliant. You know, they lowered their eyes. They didn't bomb it in, which is something Jules has talked about. He's really frustrated previously about them doing that. And they hit up targets and they controlled it. So I thought that was brilliant.
I think their hand was forced with that, given the forward line they had. And obviously how good Geelong are coming off their opponents and marking the ball. That was obviously a clear instruction to change the angles and shift the ball and make sure you don't ever bomb it on Tom Stewart's head. So, you know, full credit to the coaching staff for giving them, I guess, the courage to implement that. And clearly over the last couple of weeks too, the Saints have been much quicker with their ball movement. Like, they're building the ball up by hands, by marking it, finding marks, and that's the best when the Saints play. They had over 100 marks, and normally Jules would know, adds it, that results in a win or at least a game where they're in control. But clearly there's some, you know, a little bit of forward handball and some overlap happening, which then allows the pockets of space and angles to take. So that's been promising, and that was a good move, clearly, and it enabled Owens and these guys to run at the ball. And they still took it long at times. Like, there was just a one that we watched a little bit before back on where I think who had it on the wing, Yoz, was playing there, but it might have been Owens or something like that. And there was no option but to go long. But although he kicked over the mark, he didn't just bomb it. He just shifted it slightly in a little angle, and someone was allowed to run and jump at it. They didn't mark it. It spilled down the wood. Yep. He snaps a goal. Like, that's a really great long kick, because it's not like just bombing to Tom Stewart, you know what I mean? So they did that incredibly well. I thought their ball movement was great. Look, like I mentioned on the, you know, the rundown last week, Marshall was huge in the centre, so stoppages were really important. You won them really well. Clearly got on top there. I thought that also, at like I mentioned to you at the start, Trent, the Saints looked on. They were physical, so they came to play. They were like real chip on their shoulder stuff. They were real physical with their bumpers. They were applying pressure, and their heat was too good.
I think Stocker, absolutely like, too good. He sort of highlighted that as well. Like until he got that knock on the head, he was right up there.
Mate, and there was some guys with him. Like every time you looked up, there was at least one or two Saints on top of a Geelong player, and they would, mate, they just smacked them right between the eyes, and they couldn't get back.
Trent touched on the fact that the Saints looked on early. Well, a lot of Saints fans know too well, when the Saints have a good first quarter, many good things can happen. And I noticed the first play where Jack Sinclair was lining up for goal, he actually set the tone by going shorter and hitting up Windy. Yep. And I just thought that was really setting the tone that we didn't just bang it in. We lowered the eyes, and I thought that was a great example from a senior player. And after Windy kicked that goal, a lot of the senior players went around him, and I just noticed some good vibes. I was getting, you know, celebrating together, and that happened with Keeler's goal, Lance Collard, and it was just good culture from the Saints. And he was like, on to the next goal. And that's when you know when the Saints footy is activated. But one thing I thought was crucial was Owens being back, because Higgins benefited because Owens was back in the side. Like, Higgins kicked four goals because of a lot of soft drops, and I've learnt that term thanks to Coach Proc. But the fact that Owens was a target and not Caminiti, I felt that he at least put in a contest, and so did Keelor, as Coach Proc just mentioned, with players jump in for marks on the angle as well. The Saints were good at ground level, and that's often where we benefit. That's how Butler and Higgins get most of the goals, from crumbing. They're not necessarily targets on the lead. So, yeah, dominant performance from the Saints. We won the kicks, handballs, which obviously leads to more disposals. Our disposal efficiency was higher. We won the clearances 44-37 around the ground. Stoppage clearances 31-23. We won uncontested possessions, which was huge, because when we got dominated by Adelaide and Port, they smashed us in the uncontested possessions. Won the marks inside 50, 15-10, which is just huge for the Saints, especially since Geelong were the average in number one inside for marks inside 50. So overall, Saints were cleaner, had more of the ball and used it better, and we made it count on the scoreboard.
Well, I think that stems from your two best players. Who are two best players? Marshall and Sinclair. And they played really well, didn't they? Marshall, he's like that fourth midfielder once the ball hits the ground. So he really gave it to Deconian. And then Sinks, like, he adds that bit of class that we don't have, you know. And with him, and I just thought Naziah Wanganeen-Malia was outstanding in that he is unique, a unique talent to the AFL, and we need to sign him up because there is no other player that brings what he does. So it just needs to be done. Like, worry about TDK, worry about LDU, but we need to get him locked up because no one else has a player like him.
That's true. I don't know if I'm the only Saints supporter. I'm sure I'm not, but I've never seen them lower the eyes that much in past seasons. Like,
that's what we've been asking for.
Yeah, we've been asking for them to stop bombing it inside 50 for so long, and the targets that they hit inside 50 were just brilliant to watch. Every time they were lowering the eyes and hitting someone on the lead, and it was just really pleasing to see, and I think a lot of Saints fans would be happy to see that.
Yep. Let's improve after that last effort. It's rather pathetic. But now we know it's a spectrum of...
Now I know that a past donor is also a quilt. We could hit you with current players or past players. I share a first name with a popular British actor who stars in the Transporter series and the newer Fast and Furious movies alongside Dwayne Johnson. My last name rhymes with a term used to describe cooking a cake.
It's Jason's the first one, obviously.
That awkward silence. Blake. Hopefully, Jason Blake. Jason Blake.
Hey, you know, these are right in my wheel. It's a 2009, 2010 era.
He was one of the most reliable players.
Very reliable player.
Never got a Brownlow vote, or eventually got one.
I think he snagged one.
Mewies, mate,
didn't he? Mewies, mate. Dude, they're getting harder. They're getting harder. They're getting past players. It's not very fair. I don't know these guys.
You don't know Grilt? He was amazing player for Essendon.
He was good at Port Melbourne, wasn't he? Did he pick one from Port Melbourne? I think I played against him at Port Melbourne.
He was recruited by John Beveridge out of Suburban Footy, mate.
Was it St Kilda City?
Suburban Footy. I don't know where it was, but mate. Right,
yeah. Actually, Grilt knows playing Geelong all too well. I remember that famous game where Grilt took a nice dive.
I was just telling Clint, it was so similar to that 2010 qualifying final, mate. We pounced Geelong early, got 33 points up, and Geelong came hard.
Yeah.
And we just had everyone flooding deep into defence.
Actually, I was saying that the last quarter felt like an Aussie Socceroos team against Brazil. That's what it felt like. Just park the bus and like Ronaldinho's out there like doing a 5+.
The bus was out of
bus. Yeah, and yesterday, Jack Henry, Guthrie just banged it in there to Dangerfield.
And they ended up right by their first half, didn't they? Yeah. Like if we were only up 10 points, 15 points, we would have been rolled over.
It's hard. Momentum.
Who wants to kick us off with our saint or sinner? We'll start with you, Chef Yoz.
All right, let's give it to. There's so many to pick from, but I've got to put my hand up and I'll give it to Zach Jones. He was really, really good.
Well deserved.
That's the best of Jones when he brings that run, that carry, and he's always a player who puts his head over the ball, head down, bum up, and he brought it forward. Like, you know, I think Geelong had to actually lock him down at one stage. He was so dominant. So he was a really good performer. I've been on his back, but he was good.
It's funny how reactive the St Kilda supporter base is to Zach Jones. I mean, he can have a shocking game and then we can all jump on him.
Can I jump in? Can I call him my man?
Yeah. I brought him in. Coach Brock said to get him in.
He got Jones, he got Hawley. But like I've got no problem. He's been a really solid player for Sydney and the Saints. But like the last couple of years, for other reasons, some fitness and some personal issues, he hasn't played much. But he was good to the odds, and he was really good.
Well, what I gather from that is the few things happened. So Isaac Keeler's first goal, Lance Collard's first goal, and Zach Jones' first time being tagged in his career.
What?
I wouldn't say tagged, but they did have to put someone on him.
Trenor, saint or sinner for the round?
Well, my saint is actually someone who was a sinner a few rounds ago, and that's Mitch Owens. And he's now in my good books again. And I was harsh on Mitch after the preseason, even though he got injured. I said, I don't know where this guy's best played. He's not given enough effort. He's not growing fast enough because we know he's got so much potential. And then he just absolutely played one of his best games that I've seen him play on Saturday night. He started off from the first bounce getting into Tom Stewart, and you could see that he was up for the fight. I think Tom Stewart even had a bit of a wry smile when Mitch Owens was getting into him because he knew it was coming. And that intensity did not drop the whole game from Mitch Owens. He was putting his body on the line. He was providing a target up forward. And I said it myself a few weeks ago, I didn't know where he was best played, but now I think I do. It's that centre half forward line. Or in the forward line, trying to take marks and put his body on the line for us. So thank you for doing that, Mitch. You're the reason, I think, one of the reasons we got over the line.
He's a blue-collar worker. He brings his lunch pail, brings his hard hat. And, like, you look at his stats, I'm sure Jules can bring them up. Blow you away. He kicked a couple
10
of goals.
Disposals.
But if you look at all the team efforts he did, he was an absolute beast. And, like, I'm still on the fence about what his absolute best position is, but, like, he sacrifices his game for the team. And he went back in the packs constantly, put his head over the ball. There were tap-ons to teammates to set them up. So that's him at his best. But he does have a bit more potential to unleash. But at the moment with the forward line, he's doing what he needs to do.
Coach Proc, seems like Saints for the round. No sinners.
They're all Saints. Everyone's really good. Well, I'm gonna mention two. Can I?
Of course.
Yeah, great. I'll go quick. One is Windhager, but he's one. And just his game... And please, just leave him on ball from now on. Don't play him half forward or anywhere. And just give him a job and just let him go to work. He makes your team so much better. He did a great job inside on Holmes, who I had matched up. And he did a really good job. Put him out of the game. Didn't have that, you know, that impact going forward. But the other guy I had in here played 100% game time. 18 possessions, 14 kicks, 13 marks, 440 metres gained. Cameron Needy.
Oh,
no, now, mate, what he went back out of necessity, no choice, and I thought he played a fantastic game. Like, he was good.
That's
now,
true.
He was a bit clumsy at times, and had a few moments, sheer numbers, right? And the fact he had to go back and play on Neil Cameron, they end up moving up to the wing. Like, That's a great result.
He was strong, late. He was strong.
Mate, he did really good. I think you found something there. Like
AFL game in defense.
Brilliant effort. Like, honestly, I thought he looked solid as down there. There's a lot to work with. So
I think it was the Jules who caught it last week. Coming back.
One of you bikes did, I think.
Yeah, because I likened him to the McCartan brothers down back. So it is very similar. But takes a lot of marks, makes mistakes.
13 marks learning. Is a really good effort. Yeah. Now, I know it's a few uncontested.
Yeah.
But 440 metres gain, that's moving the ball. Like, that's really good.
No, yeah, that's a big
14
moments.
Kicks and some good and let alone his spoils and contest.
He's not good at turning around, but he can go forward.
It's fine. But he sees the ground and he goes forward. He's tough. Mate, I thought a good game. No, really good game.
I agree.
Before I say my saint of the round, I don't think we mentioned Rowan Marshall. But, we did it earlier, but he was phenomenal, wasn't he? 29 disposals. But it's hard to go past who I think gets the three votes. It is our man, Jackson McRae. 35 disposals, 8 marks, 10 tackles, 7 inside 50s, 9 clearances, 153 AFL fantasy points. You know, when you hear about a player like McRae, you think, who did I give up for him? Did I give up Steele? You know, did I give up Windy, Filippo? We gave up pick 45 for McRae. What was he doing not playing in the midfield for the Bulldogs? They have just let go of an absolute machine.
And
it's not just the numbers. If you watch him, his in-and-out handballs that he gets in the clearances. The reason Jones is benefiting is because McRae, he's so slick in there with his little handballs when he gets it out to him.
It's hard one to read, Beveridge, isn't he? Because, you know, Riley Sanders is a top midfielder.
Yep. True.
He's just dying on a half forward flank. I'm like, just get this kid in
That's
there.
That's right.
Yeah. Like, he's going to be so good. Smith. You know what I mean? Bailey Smith. Anyway, Beveridge.
But thank you, Beveridge. Don't worry, we'll treat him right. All right. We've got another cryptic clue for you. Who am I? I share a first name with a popular Hawthorn Brownlow medalist. My last name is a way to describe a brutal attack.
I think I've got it. Shane Savage?
Shane Savage.
Oh, well done, Jules.
Retro these days.
Croft, if you're listening, I did immediately think of you. And then you know, a brutal way to kill someone is Savage, I imagine. So.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yep.
Ah, yes.
You played some good footy during a not very good era.
Out of all the players we have, we've chosen Gwilt, Savage and Blake.
Man, I love Jim Gwilt. You can't go for the obvious ones.
Hopefully Coach Proc goes easy on Lion this week after a fantastic win over the Cats. Proc, what have you got for us on Lion's game plan?
Well, it was exceptional. No, he did coach incredibly well. Like, I think Yoz mentioned it before. The ball movement was the key for me. I just thought that it's the best I've seen the Saints move it. He clearly got them up as well. Like, that's always a hard thing to do as a coach, to get them up, but they responded well. Their pressure was through the roof. You know, and then, you know, the contest as well. Like, coming back to Marshall, those guys in and around the contest were really good. Everyone had their roles, played it out to the tee. It was clinical effort, and then just to hold on in the last minute, that was probably, you know, the most the hardest part as a coach is watching that all unfold when it's out of your control. You know, that soccer that nearly went through when old mate got his foot on it. Or, you know,
close was claiming that one.
Yeah, so to hold on is a huge effort. So, yeah, tip my hat to Ross and the coaches. It's a good way to come back.
Fan mail as well. We reached out to a few of our most faithful followers on Instagram, which is at Saints or Sinners Pod, and we asked them to send us any feedback, comments or questions for Coach Proc or the panel. And we actually had one from, actually, they wanted to remain anonymous for this one, which is fine, but she said, there you go, I've already given away the gender. Won't say anything else. Who do the Saints sign to complete this team?
Ooh.
Which is a great question, because you look at yesterday and it's like, well, we had a phenomenal performance, but there were things that we could probably some holes.
Well, now that we're complete. A destination club, it should be a lot easier.
I wouldn't say complete. Let's just say it's building. No. Keep building.
I honestly will just come back to the ruck. You still need another ruckman. You need a really dominant ruckman, TDK, whoever it is, to come in and give Marshall that support, because with respect to Geelong, they're not strong in the ruck. You're going to face, you know, all these other guys, Gorns, Arian, and that's going to be an issue and a challenge. So you need another ruckman to support Marshall. And then ultimately, yeah, you need that one more prime mover. Like, you know, that inside, outside mid that can accumulate the footy, kick goals. Like, you know, look at Sam Lalo, one of those types that has got real, you know, speed and power that can come through, kick goals. That would be a really nice compliment for McRae. Hey,
Filippo
could be that guy, right? I don't know if he's ready and capable, but definitely need that sort of element of goal kicking mid to come through it. And then I think also you're a key defender short, like that's pretty obvious in a sense of, you know, the guys coming.
Josh Battle.
Yeah, like, no, honestly, yeah. Like, yeah, you miss battle big time, and they're going to need to replace him in, whether it's with someone you've drafted or in the free agency or in a trade or things like that.
Well,
so,
Ari Schoenmaker's had a decent good game in the VFL. Good game.
Like, he had 100 fantasy points. He played really well. I think, you know, there's some talent coming through, but it depends on if you want to get the hit now. But definitely free agency or trade, I'd look at the ruck stocks first.
Schoenmaker's had 32 disposals, 26 of those were kicks, and as Proc said, 112 fantasy. Jack Carroll actually had 23 disposals. Trevallier had 22 disposals. Mate, and Boxall,
debut next 21. Week, debut next week, Trevallier, please. And right at the bottom, if you look, Henry. I just want to see
of
if
course.
He got the
he'll come in. He'll
straight
come
back.
Of course. You know, Ross has alluded to that. He'll definitely come straight back in. I want to throw this one to Yoz. We actually had another DM as well. Just feedback. Steely responded with 13 tackles. I love you, Captain Steel. How do you make Steel's game? You had 22 disposals, but 13 tackles probably sets the tone in terms of that pressure rating. Well, did you think he led from the front?
He led from the front. Let's be honest. He's not the player he was three seasons ago, that all-Australian level. But he complimented McRae. He was in there tackling hard. But I still think Clint's got the right idea in that he's going to, for the team to sort of develop, he needs to sort of edge out of the midfield slowly. Mm. Not full-time, but like make that half-forward lockdown position or half-back position, bring that competitiveness to those lines. And we need someone to come through, but there's no one to come through at the moment. But he was better.
Yeah, that's one thing you can control is effort, and he clearly did that with the way he competed and gave that tackle pressure, which was really important for the Saints. Saints got over 80 tackles. 88, I think, for the match. So that's a great effort. And that's all you can do in that sense. But, yeah, he's not accumulating the ball like he used to, right? You know, two or three years ago, he was getting around at 30, high 20s.
Well, he doesn't really need to now with McRae there.
So no, with McRae there picking it up. But I still think it's important that the mids need to be minimal 125 touches, you know. 20, you need to be kicking a goal or two. Or being significantly meters game player, but he's still not to that level as well. So, look, maybe he'll come good with. Is there a niggle or something we don't know about or a sense in that? But if the Saints are going to, you know, pick up some really good important wins, he'll need to play at that high standard all the way.
All right, can I throw a question to Coach Clint?
Yeah.
That second half, especially the last quarter, when we just had everyone back. Players were physically cooked and they had nothing to kick to up front. Keeler was cooked. There was no contest when it went up there. Collard was like, he's lightweight at the moment. And everyone was just flooded back. What can you do? Is it just reliant on that man to step up and say, I'm going to grab it by the scuff of the neck? I think we saw Dangerfield do that a bit. He was just powerful in the midfield. And I think it was Windy or someone mentioned he was so hard to get on top of, you know, because he's so physically strong. Is it just reliant on one person to do it? Is there something you can do as a coach?
Just to stop the momentum?
Not to stop the momentum, but like to ease the pressure a bit.
Rather
than just bomb it back when they got a wall. They had a wall lined up and it was just coming back in. Otherwise, it was just pure luck.
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
Because if you go for the kick inside and you miss it, it's a goal. And then that's the game over. So you can't basically take that kick. And then if you get back off your mark and give yourself a little bit more grass, you could go for a short one. But again, because they're coming so far forward to defend, like they're really aggressive, Geelong. Moot going backwards also creates this nervous energy. So players just go straight down the line, and that's just it's very difficult to manage in that sense. And really it's about the forwards just competing, halving the contest or sending the ball out of bounds. And mate, repeat stoppages are really, really important. You know, really important just to roll the footy down. Repeat stoppage after repeat stoppage and do your best to hold on.
We got a lot of questions and likes as well for our stories about Isaac Keilor. We were posting him quite a bit. We're very excited to see him. We've been waiting for a while as Saints fans. Oh, sorry, I will stop there. We'll go to a trivia question, then I'll resume our Keilor talk. Trenor, what have you got for us?
My first name rhymes with the name of an old school music box. My last name is a popular chant that Aussie fans love to shout at the footy.
I've got it. I have got it. I'll let people
at home. Okay, so my first name rhymes with the name of an old school music box. My last name is a chant that Aussie fans love to shout at the footy.
I've got it. Come on, Clint.
Don't look at me.
Get on board,
Aussie James or something.
It is Luke Ball.
Luke Ball.
So Duke, Luke.
Duke, yeah.
And what was the second part? I tuned out.
That
chant that everyone loves to yell at the
Ball. That's so right. Positive for the Saints supporters. So we just bring it out that Luke Ball was actually number pick two for us.
Was he?
Number one was Luke Hodge. Number three was Chris Judd. And all of them have a premiership, but none of them at St Kilda. There you go, Saints fans. Just to kick you in the guts.
Gentlemen, Keelor, in his first game, he had, was it six or seven disposals? I've lost my...
And how many cramps?
Yeah, gee, we got a lot of people...
Oh, he thought he did his hammy at one stage.
I think people juice manufacturers are just rejoicing around the world
but
right now.
But he did stick out there. He didn't come off and he battled away.
Took a nice mark at the end.
He did good. He did a good job.
Seven disposals, four tackles and a goal for Keelor. Does he keep his spot?
Yeah, I reckon.
Yeah, you got to give him another game.
Maybe Richmond as well.
Don't bring him in for one game and drop him out. And his second ruck, he did okay. Yeah. Like, he had a good couple of jumps at it, you know. It was okay.
We also got a lot of love for our Irish man, Liam O'Connell. So he actually had four disposals, two marks, one of them being one of the match-saving marks, almost on terms with Leo Barry. Of course, that's where my one-eyed Saints bias comes in.
Both Irishmen.
And he had two... Did I really just...
Leo Barry!
Did I really just... Did I really compare O'Connell with Leo Barry?
I can already see the picture frames.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Now I understand what all Saints fans go through.
Liam O'Connell, you star.
Liam O'Connell.
I think that's worse than the maximum Matty Parker.
But it was a good moment. It reminded me of that moment.
Liam O'Connell, you star.
He was really getting cooked by Clovis here. I thought he was going to kick a third. That would have been game over.
So he had five tackles for the game and a crucial stop, plus that mark as well. So he obviously probably keeps his spot, even though he only had four disposals.
Was he the sub?
No, he wasn't the sub.
Oh.
No, Garcia was the sub.
Okay.
Mm. So, yeah, this is our Irishman, and a lot of Saints fans would be very angry if he got dropped.
Did he play the round one?
He played round one as well against Adelaide.
He'll probably get dropped.
let's be fair.
No, I'm just saying, he hasn't done enough.
Well, was all over him.
Yeah,
we've got Clark and Stocker who will probably need...
And Henry needs to get in as well, so...
Well, that's was going to be my next question. I mean, obviously Stocker comes out of the side with the concussion protocol, but who else... You know, who makes room for Henry? And we've also been calling for Trevelyan, Boxall.
But after a win like that and with Richmond on the horizon, I don't think we'll need to change the team up too much. I think the players who are out there have earned their spot.
Mm. I think...
Sorry, guys.
No, it's all good. I think it's obviously Stocker's got to come out. And Clark looked a bit crocked, unfortunately, as usual. So I think you're going to get Henry in and maybe a sneaky one for Trevelyan.
I would bring Trevelyan in. I think it's a good game to bring. Now, Richmond, and so now when you're playing against like Richmond and lower teams, it's a good chance for these guys to come in and get their first game. So, and especially coming off a win like that, Trevelyan would be a good one to bring in. Great game for Henry to play. His first AFL hit out for the Saints and, you know, coming off a limited preseason and things like that. So, yeah, it's good timing.
For team morale, that'd be big getting Henry in. Well, it kind of ties nicely into this segment, the GT pressure rating. Obviously, a bit hard to do this when we've had such a great win, but I think nonetheless, we're going to chuck some players, departments or divisions under the microscope. So we'll start with you, Coach Brock. Who do we have in the GT pressure rating?
Happy to go. I'm putting the club on the rating. Now you got to back it up.
Yep.
So, obviously poor round one, pre-season was a bit difficult, but you've come out, pressure was through the roof, 200 every quarter, everyone bought in for it, and now you've got Richmond... And you should win. And you're at Marvel. Win. Get it done. Go and get it done.
Matty's match.
Big game. So, really important to step up and bring the pressure and play. If they play the bad brand of footy, they'll beat Richmond. Easy. But if you turn up like you have done in the preseason and the blokes, pick and choose and it becomes a long day, they'll beat you. They've got as much momentum and youth as well. So
I fear for the St Kilda social media team.
I'm all about the club. And I think it's everyone buys in from, the players, the staff, everyone down there. Hey, we're all a big week on the track. Let's do everything really well all the way through to our review, our training standards, and let's make sure we prepare as best we can to make sure we hit Richmond with everything we've got.
Yoz, do you have anyone for
us?
Yes,
I do. I'm putting my I'm putting my man Corey Enright under the pressure rating because I wasn't happy in that second half. I was like, I actually asked Clint this as well. How many times did we not kill the ball right on the goal line? And there were three goals I can think offhand that were just given to Geelong, where they just were able to kick it off the goal line.
Yeah.
They need to really...
No soft drops. We said that, didn't we? Come on, no soft drops. We're big kills. Yeah, they got a bit tired, do you reckon, the Saints? And maybe their wingers didn't get back enough to help and support.
I think they looked exhausted. Burns looked a bit tired. Good, but he got touched up by Dempsey a bit a couple of late.
The thing is, when you're not a tall winger as well, it's hard to get back and punch and spoil the ball. So sometimes you can't like impact against those big blokes.
Yeah.
Where if you have a guy like Mason Wood on the wing, remember last year he was intercept marking a lot and doing a heap of like Wood was running back, taking a lot of intercept marks and getting the spoils in.
Indecisive. On that, you just kill it. I'd rather give the free kick away.
Yeah,
let them try and keep the ball. But yeah, that was a bit frustrating. But
no soft drops.
I'm going to mention one of our favourite players. So in a game where McCray had 35, Marshall 29, Malera 29, Zach Jones 27, Mason Wood 26. This is disposals, by the way. Sinclair 25, Windy 25, Steele 22. Our man Brad Hill, after a shocking game against Adelaide, had 13 disposals. So I don't know. I just think, look, Saints are always looking for someone to blame, and I think given that he's one of our biggest sign-ins. If we lose to Richmond and Brad Hill has a quiet game, I think that's where the rating and the pressure comes from on him. He needs to respond. And, you know, obviously he's working hard. Sometimes the ball just doesn't get in his hands. But two games in a row, he needs to back it up now. Not back it up. He needs to respond now in his third game and give us a Brad Hill that we love. 20-plus disposals, setting up a few goals, maybe even kicking one.
Yeah, I think he was a lot better. He ran hard defensively and offensively. He was competitive. But he is 30 years old, and they did give him, I think it was either a 2-year deal or a 3-year deal, which is not really done in the AFL anymore. It's only 1-year deals for once you're over 30. So he needs to perform week in, week out, but he was good. He was good. He ran hard. We've warmed up.
You've warmed up. You're getting these pretty quickly now. I'll have to up the clues next week. But I share a first name with arguably the greatest basketball player of all time.
Not arguably. The greatest
player of all time. My last name is the name of a profession that you'd find outdoors.
Oh, got it.
Well, I know there's no LeBrons in the AFL, so obviously the first name's Michael.
Yes. you want me to go? It's Michael Gardner.
Rocky's got it.
Got it.
And a nice story.
I see him
Geelong
down at
MSAC
every now and then, the big fella walking around. Oh, loves it.
Yeah. Is he still reminding you about that mark he took against Geelong?
He's so big. Monster.
Fantasy football with Trenor. How did your dream team go? What do I need to do for
I'm jumping in here. What happened to Finlayson? Oh. You told me to put him in the team. I put him in the team. He's not even played.
Oh, no, he got dropped. I was really worried, actually, because even though he had a handy score, and my strategy...
Dylan Schill.
Oh, no. These guys off halfback aren't living up to the hype. I know. I'm sorry about that one.
Putting him under the pump earlier. GT pressure rating.
I made a late decision to fade Jason Horne Francis, which has paid off for me so far. I don't know how many more weeks it's going to continue, but he had another quiet one. So my plan was for Jeremy Finlayson to rack it up against Richmond at halfback, and he got dropped. And that's because he couldn't keep up with Tim Membry the week before that. So thank you, Timmy, for that. But yeah, it was a bit of a slog for me this week, and I had obviously Finlayson that I needed to trade. I had Bailey Smith, as everyone else would have come out late. And I also had Hugo Garcia stuck on the bench as sub, which was really frustrating. So I thought I was going to drop dramatically in the rankings, but I managed to retain my spot. I'm still in with a fighting shot, thanks to Jordan Dawson and Connor Rozee, who are the two best midfielders by far at the moment in AFL fantasy. So if you don't have Jordan Dawson and Rozee, you're going to want them at some point. The reason that I was able to stick strong this week in fantasy, and a lot of fantasy players will know, is because it's just top 18 scores at the moment while there are buys. So that means that you can have some rookie scores that won't get counted towards your final score. So Hugo Garcia did not affect me this round. One thing I'll tell to the fans before next weekend is Jack McRae. Now, obviously, he had that breakout game over 150. I mean, we all knew that he was going to average over 100 this season. We've been saying that all year round on the podcast, and everyone else has been firm on that. But I think where you can get a jump on Jack McRae, where everyone else has him in their team, is if you make him captain. And I think he's actually not a bad vice-captain option when he plays Richmond this week, because they don't typically tag, and a lot of teams are scoring as they please against Richmond. Connor Rozee had a 145 against them. So I think it's wise to put the vice-captaincy on Jack McRae this round. A lot of other questions that people ask in fantasy world is what to do with Will Day. Everyone got him in because he was going to jump in cash. He's jumped in cash. You've got to hold him for one more round, even though he might get the tag again this week. But after he's done jumping up in cash, then we can get him, we can move him on ahead of his bye. So hold Will Day for one more round and make Jack McRae your vice captain this weekend.
McCreary, mate, the way he's going, he could be a top all Australian top 40 selection.
He was the fantasy pick, deemed the fantasy pick by AFL Fantasy 1 year. He averaged 130 one season, and that was a long time ago, thanks to Luke Beveridge. But now it's actually a chance that he does that again.
Well, if he stays fit the whole year, I mean, he's going to average close to 28, 30 positions a game. Easy.
Absolutely.
Last Who Am I before we wrap up. Who have you got for us, St. Trenna?
All right, one more to finish off this podcast. It's another past player, so I'll just throw that out there as well. My first name rhymes with an officiated ceremony. My last name is a large event space. Say it again. My first name rhymes with an officiated ceremony. My last name is a large event space.
Got it.
Yours is on fire with these.
Who is it? It's right in my wheelhouse. Barry Hall.
Barry Hall.
Big Barry Hall.
Barry.
Another one from a great era of Saints footy. He jumped ship at the right time, didn't he? Well, he did gut punch.
Brenton Saker.
No. He punched Goose McGuire in the guts, remember?
That's right.
He did get suspended for the grand final.
Goose.
If he was playing this year in Beveridge's team, he'd probably be playing in the ruck or midfield, knowing Bevo, but...
That brings us to the end of Saints or Sinners. If you are feeling generous, please leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and or Apple Podcasts. Thank you to our panel, Yoz, Proc and Trenna for your insights. And thank you to all our loyal supporters on Instagram. And of course, our Saints faithful, to all the members out there. Congrats on a great win. We'll see you next weekend after our game against Richmond at Marvel, Saturday the 29th of March for Maddie's match. That's the final Maddie's match that we're going to be playing. It's a 4:15 PM game, so make sure you get down there for some Saints footy. Other than that, we hope you have a tremendous week. Wear your Saints scarf, proud to work on Monday, and we'll see you all next time on Saints or Sinners.
When the Saints go marching in.